barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
It is Monday, October 3rd. Spooky season is in full effect, and we had a spooky-ass weekend, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through something. I'm just sitting here like, all right, what game should we talk about? And just so much happened this weekend. One, we're going to talk about it, kind of lead story. Illinois gets fucking demolished by Illinois demolishes Wisconsin. Paul Chris gets his ass thrown to the curb. They rush for 2 yards in an entire college football game, the least since they ran for minus 26 yards against I think it was Northwestern. In 2015. Mm-hmm. Just a brutal game for the old Paul Chris fighting Badgers. And then my personal favorite, our guy, the brilliant, the poignant, the best college football analyst in the country, Desmond Howard, and his playoff selection. Texas A&M, Pitt, and Baylor all go down in the same weekend for the second time. Like, the odds that you could pick four playoff teams and three of the four would lose on the same weekend twice through 5 weeks is so incredibly low. So Baylor falls to Okie State, Pitt falls to the Georgia Tech fucking Killer Bees, and Texas A&M drops the ball and loses another one as Jimbo Fisher's en route to be the next head coach fired. And Desmond should be the first media personality fired, because this dumb son of a bitch, just, you can't get any dumber. So all that happened in Alabama. It looked like they were going to be in a close game. Bryce Young gets knocked out. From everything I've heard, it's not long-term, that he might even play this next week with a slight separation in his throwing shoulder, which is not ideal. But they end up routing or Arkansas without Bryce Young, which just goes to show you how good Alabama is. And, of course, the pollsters then flip Alabama and Georgia, and Georgia doesn't fall below Ohio State, as Georgia should have lost to the fucking Missouri, whatever they are, Tigers.
Killer Tigers.
The Killer Tigers. And if you watch that game, it's a 10-point game winding down the fourth quarter. They get a fourth down on the goal line, and they convert it and score, but there's a false start that goes uncalled. If you haven't seen the clip, the receiver moves, should have been flagged. Now it's fourth and six, probably kick a field goal. Totally different ball game. Not saying they wouldn't have marched down and scored a touchdown to win, but entirely different football game if that call gets made. USC rolled Arizona State. I mean, it just... What else happened, Chris? Clemson struggled against North Carolina State, but honestly, a good North Carolina State team. And
right,
I think
really
DJ Uyunglele is playing well, and Clemson is trending in the right direction, right? For as much hate as I've spewed at Clemson, they're trending in the right direction right now. I think that was a big win at home against a really good NC State team. But excuse me, Chris. And the next question is Syracuse for real? 59-0 to Wagner. I mean, they're just blowing people out.
Blowing them out.
How was your weekend, crazy, Chris?
Oh, it was phenomenal, man. Georgia Tech won. They beat a ranked opponent.
Can't beat that. Right. Penn State kind of struggled against Northwestern. Right. How about the fraudulent PJ Flex falling to Aiden O'Connell 20-10, and the Purdue Boilermakers get a dub, and Minnesota is no longer unbeaten, and the Big Ten West looks even worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also tweeted something out, Zach, and I'm getting so much hate for it. I tweeted out Bijan Robinson stats and Maya Williams stats, just like no content. I said, I'm just going to tweet this and turn off my notifications to go away. You know, I got back on Twitter and got called all kinds of stuff, man.
Texas all kinds of names.
Tell me to delete myself.
Oh, and how about this, Chris? The fraudulent, as I've said from preseason to week one, week two, you name it. Every week I've said it, the fraudulent Oklahoma Sooners get boat raced by TCU 55-24. And I saw an interesting stat, Chris. TCU might be for real, as long as this stat is for real, but a good friend of mine works at TCU and he sent me a stat. Let me get it for you. Actually, I don't want to misquote it, but I know this 11 players ran over 21 miles an hour in the game on Saturday, which That's is flying
fast,
right? And you even said that the clip you posted of Jahmyr Gibbs, which is probably the most explosive play in college football all year, when he got vertical on a stretch play and just, you talk about hit the gas. This was
22.8 miles per hour.
So almost 23 miles an hour. So TCU had 11 players that go over 21 miles an hour in the game on Saturday. As a reference point, there's only been 10 players all season hit 21 miles an hour in the NFL. 10 the entire season. And TCU had 11 do it just on Saturday. So TCU's got some team speed. They got some team speed. Watch out for them.
Fast. That's an absurd stat. I've got to throw this up here just because you know what time it is. Just get it here early.
King Bronco is here in here early. Must have got that bump of meth in early, and he is up and at him. Bronco just wants to share his knowledge with you, as he says, Paul Crisps ain't word any bird pants when we was once, but y'all all cry baby like lotion. Wicker's gonna hoot and hiss like it ain't got stooded on roofs. Leopard ain't showed he real firth. And firth is one TH, like you would say fourth,
yeah,
but he put a one. So I don't know what firth, I think that's how you say it, firth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Bronco, in the building. In other news, Chris, I saw this quote. I might be late to the party, but you talk about savage. And granted, then they went and got their ass beat against UTSA, but our guy Rick Stockstill, after beating Miami, he said, Miami gave us 1.5 million. But they only got 1.6 yards per carry. So just pouring salt on the wound. Miami was already dead, and then he gave him a couple more shots to the dome.
And then they got beat, so it makes Miami look even worse.
Right.
Like, they got beat bad. So, like, even on Miami's bye week, they're getting
crushed. If I was him every week, if we lost, I'd be like, man, yeah, it was a tough game for us. But just think about how bad Miami must be that we beat them, and then we lost to UTSA. I would use it in my press conference every week. No, Miami would never stop hearing about how our team beat them ever. Mm-hmm.
As it should be
for sure.
All right, Zach, we got to get to it. I do want to throw a super chat up here just because I love when you get job offers. JB and Zach to replace Frank Reich with the Colts.
Not an NFL coach. I'm like, I could be an NFL position coach, but I'm not going to go coordinate an NFL offense. I would be miserable at it. I mean, self-awareness is key in the world. Urban Meyer didn't have it. I have it. I know I could be one of the best receiver coaches in the country in college football. I could coach receivers in the NFL for sure, but I'm not going to go coordinate an NFL offense. There's far too much offense in the NFL. I could coordinate college though.
Fair. But let's talk about it, Zach. We got a new job is open. The Wisconsin job. They let go of Chris. They fired him. I didn't see it coming. I didn't even see any smoke about it, but they did it. It's an open job. Teams that were white and red in the Big Ten are now looking for coaches. What do you got?
Well, here's my thing, right? One, kind of crazy, right? Because this guy, you look at his career record, he's 67-26 at Wisconsin, which is respectable at Wisconsin because it's a tough recruiting base. It's just not easy to go get elite players to come there outside of Wisconsin kids, right? Like the Joe Thomases of the world that are from that area that come in, end up being like lottery picks. And they're always going to get a good running back because of their system. But I understand why. You rush for 2 yards. Graham Mertz is fucking terrible. Their defense didn't look good. And there's a theme going around here, Chris. That makes 4 teams in a row that Ohio State has beaten that have lost the next weekend. Credit to our girl Lynn in our group chat who threw it out there. That's an insane stat, right? Every team that Ohio State has beat, they've lost the next game. So watch out for Rutgers. I haven't even looked up who they play next week, but watch out for an L there. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. One could be they're over-preparing for Ohio State, or there's a little bit of a letdown because they're not playing such a big opponent, or they're beat up. Ohio State's playing a physical brand of football right now, and for a team to bounce back from that in 6 days is tough to do. Look at Paul Chris' tenure. I mean, 10-3, 11-3, 13-1 in 2017, 8-5, 10-4. Won the West in 2019. Then the COVID year, everyone was pretty much awful. He was 9-4 last year. Probably going to be a little below that this year. But that's respectable for Wisconsin, considering everything I just said. I mean, they spend $400,000 a year on recruiting when most teams that are top 25 teams are spending over $1 million. So it's absolutely respectable what Paul Chris was able to do. But here's what I think it is, Chris. I think it is truly the changing of the guards, where Wisconsin understands the landscape has changed. And I made this point about Jimbo Fisher. They're starting to implore NIL deals, right? Where the transfer portal is a thing. And now with NIL, anybody can be good for the right price. And I think Wisconsin's saying, all right, we need to pivot here. We have USC and UCLA coming to the conference. We can't just keep going business as usual. We have to make a change at the top. This coach is not an elite coach. He's a good coach, not a great coach. We need a great coach. We need to invest more money in recruiting. We need to pivot and become, you know, level up. We just have to level up. And I think that's what Wisconsin decided to do here. And obviously, he gave him a great reason, getting boat raced by Illinois.
It's bad. It's tough. And honestly, like I keep thinking about Kansas's coach, Jack. How long will they be able to hold on to him? Because I guarantee you that's Wisconsin's probably first target. And then I'm going to ask you, what's the better job, Nebraska or Wisconsin?
Honestly, where they're at right now, I'd say Nebraska. Just okay. Because of the support financially that you can get from the state. And I think they're pretty equal. I'm not going to sit here and tout Nebraska as a much better job than Wisconsin. But Nebraska has also, at one point in their history, they had that program at the top of college football. Wisconsin never has. They've never reached the pinnacle. Nebraska's trying to get back. Wisconsin's trying to go in rare air where they've never been. So I would say Nebraska's a better job, but I think you can do well at Wisconsin. With NIL, you can get some players that normally you wouldn't get at Wisconsin. You're going to be able to get offensive linemen out of the state. They already get elite backs. I mean, you look at the running back history they have. If they can get an NIL deal to get some wideouts and a quarterback in there, Wisconsin could be a great job, and they could achieve really high levels of success. But I think Nebraska is the better job. But I'm curious in the chat, what do you guys think? Nebraska or Wisconsin? Which is the better job? If you're, let's say you are Matt Campbell right now, or Lance Leipold, and both schools call you, which job are you taking?
Yeah, and who could you see as Wisconsin's next coach as well?
I mean, they got a nice long audition for Jim Leonard, and I think that's why they pulled the plug right now, okay. Is to give him a full body of work to kind of display what he would be like as the head coach at Wisconsin. They want it to be Jim Leonard. That's in my opinion why they pulled the plug right now. Paul Chris gave him a reason, played awful against Illinois. They had to watch fucking fat ass Burt Bielema walk up and down the sideline and just beat the shit out of their team. And it's revolting. You think about it. That fat slob just beat your football team and you're the AD. I'd be sitting there like, oh, I'm fucking firing this guy. We can't lose to that fat fuck. No way. So he gave him the perfect reason. And now they said, all right, we can pull the plug, give Jim Leonard a nice body of work to show us what you got, man. Never been a head coach. Now you are. Show us what you're going to do as a head coach.
Johnny tagged me a tweet and basically said, Chris was hired the same year as Harbaugh, has more wins, six times as many bowl wins, and still got fired, which means the Badgers have a higher expectation than the Michigan Wolverines.
I mean, it's crazy to think about because Paul Chris was 6-1 in bowl games, right? And that is where you go through the season, and generally speaking, right, your team is your team at that point. You have a resume, you have a body of work, you're evaluated on 12 games. And then they pit you up against another conference's version of yourself, right? An equally talented team. And Wisconsin was 6-1 under Paul Chryst in those equal talent games. Mm-hmm. I think he did a good job at Wisconsin. I really do. Obviously, this was a down year, and Graham Mertz is terrible. I love Braylon Allen, but their offensive line is not what it usually is. I mean, two yards in an entire college football game against Illinois. Just crazy.
It's inexcusable. And I think it's important that you did say this is more about a projection, the changing of the guards, and a good reason to do it. Because college football is changing, and Wisconsin doesn't want to get left behind, which is fair. And I can completely understand it. Zach, I'm ready to move ahead a little bit because...
Well, Georgia, I have to mention the big news, Chris. We have a new partner here at Menace to Sports. And it's a partner that I seeked out. I contacted them because I love their products. And I'm wearing their shirt right now. It's Manscaped. This is a PSA to Menace Army. I need you to act. I need you to use our promo code Menace. Go to Manscaped, and you get 20% off and free shipping. That's the deal they gave me for the Army. So Menace Army, this is a directive. Go to Manscaped, and I need you to get the Lawnmower 4.0. It's badass. They sent me one. I have it, and Justine can attest. It is a must-do for men. We can't have this nasty stuff going around. There's just overgrowth. It's like the HOA, the Homeowners Association of Podcasts right now, is telling you to go get the Lawnmower 4.0. They have the Weed Whacker. The performance package is the best deal. You get that. You get the Weed Whacker. which is like nose hair and ear hair trimmers. We need to level up, men. We need to level up. These women are out here getting Brazilians and doing all this nice stuff that just to make your experience better. You need to do the same for them. They also have Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, which is like a lotion that smells really good. They have a Crop Reviver Spray-On Testy Toner, which is outstanding. So I need you to do it right now. Go to Manscaped. Use promo code MENACE. You get 20% off with free shipping. It's time you level up from the Amazon to the Amadong with the ultimate bushwhacking tools from Manscaped. So I'm fired up about it because I have all their products. You guys need to get it. So go get it right now. Sorry, Chris. I'm just trying to help all the ladies out there get their men right.
Beautiful. And I hope Stenson Bennett heard this message because he needs to level up as well. Georgia, you called them. They're fraudulent.
Fraudulent. They didn't look
right. This fraudulent. Is back-to-back week struggling. They struggled against Kent State in a dogfight with Kent State. And then they played Missouri, who was one of the worst teams in the SEC, and really got outplayed for the entire game. It was the entire game. Stetson Bennett, it looked and felt like the offense back when it was Jake Fromm. Don't know what happened. Didn't see this regression coming. It certainly looks like they peaked week one. Zach, talk about Georgia. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was obviously a bad game. And I've never said Georgia's fraudulent. I've just said they're not as good as last year. And we're giving them this benefit of the doubt. And they looked good against Oregon. They looked good against South Carolina. But they're going to lose a game. You can bank on it. They might lose two. I think that Tennessee game is a major, major upset alert. You look at Stetson Bennett. I mean, he played okay. Didn't throw a touchdown pass. I think the skill on the perimeter for Georgia is subpar for what you would need to win a national championship without a generational defense, because they don't have one anymore. I've said it all offseason, and Georgia fans were at my neck like, you're a fucking idiot. You don't know shit. We got this guy's going to replace him, and this guy, N'Kobe Dean, was good, but this guy would probably better. And you're like, shut the fuck up. Dude, okay, he's better. Gotcha. At nine spots, all draft picks, you got nine guys that are better.
No way.
Gotcha.
That means your coach accepted a bad job, but okay.
Yeah, right. Stetson Bennett played okay. I mean, he was 2 for 4 on deep balls. He was 40% under pressure, which is kind of his MO. They did a good job keeping him out of pressure situations. He only had 7 snaps where he was actually under pressure, and they blitzed him 18 times. But 55% completion percentage is subpar. No touchdown passes. This Georgia team is a fraud. I can keep saying it. I'll say it for the rest of the shows. Georgia is a fraud. Clemson, I still have as a fraud, but they're trending towards maybe not. Mm-hmm. Georgia's trending the opposite way. They're two ships passing in the night. One team's on the rise. The other one's on the decline. And they should have lost this fucking game. Against anyone else in the SEC, they lose. Anyone else. Pick a school. If South Carolina played that team the way they played on Saturday, South Carolina wins.
No, I agree. And I think it's important that you mentioned kind of Clemson about their fraudulency as well. The difference is they have someone who's generationally special in terms of pure talent, touching the ball every single play. Stetson Bennett isn't that. And I think that we kind of got fooled, or I kind of got fooled after week one, because he's a baller. But let's talk about it, Zach. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Ladd McConkey is not good enough to be your wide receiver one outside. He is not good enough. He's fast. Yeah. He runs decent routes, but he has poor ball skills, or not elite ball skills, and it's brought about some limitations. Now, we think that Bowers is fantastic, but you see a team start to split on Bowers a little bit because you can key in so much on him because they have no true number one outside. This is the dangers of having the little guy outside without the elite ball skills and Stenson Bennett, who is not an elite thrower of the football.
There's no doubt. And you can see Stetson Bennett's game is fit perfectly for the offense because Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers are ridiculous. I mean, Darnell Washington looks like fucking he looks like he should play for the Monstars. He's like the Incredible Hulk.
He's an absolute freak show. Yep.
But I don't believe you can win a college football national championship just featuring tight end groups, right? I just don't. I mean, they ran the ball for under 5 yards a carry. Kenny McIntosh is a good player. Kendall Milton is a really good player. But at the end of the day, you need wideouts. And you said it, Ladd McConkey, not it. Kyaris Jackson, underwhelming. Like, the receivers that they do have are underwhelming. And I don't think you can win a national championship without some freak show generational defense like they had last year, and they don't have it anymore. So Georgia stamped fraudulent. We'll find out, and it'll be verified here soon. Don't just get your popcorn ready. It's coming.
And now this is back-to-back weeks. Now, we kind of chalked up the Kent State thing to, oh, okay, like maybe they didn't get up for this game. But then you had an interesting tweet out that said, Kent State is putting something on film that other teams will start to implement because it worked. Mizzou did that.
Yeah.
We saw it now. Struggling in back-to-back weeks after a team should be pissed off for how close Kent State played them. They should have blown this Missouri team out.
Oh, yeah. They should have demanded their respect back, right? It was Mizzou. It's the worst team not named Vanderbilt in the SEC. And they didn't. They only hurt their respect level even more. And this Georgia defense is not generational, because last year, not only the film was ridiculous last year. I mean, just the speed to the ball, just freak shows everywhere. Their secondary was locked down. Everything they did was phenomenal. But they would come out almost any game and it'd be like three missed tackles, four missed tackles. You're like, damn, this defense is legit. Against Missouri, they had 12 missed tackles, double digits. They should have lost. Missouri had 12 also. That's the only reason that game ended the way it ended. If Missouri tackled better, or if they had somebody who could tackle that big fucking Andre the Giant tight end, this game would have ended differently. But they're not it. I mean, they're just flat out not it.
And you've made a comment before, and you got a lot of heat for it. I saw you, and you kind of broke it down a little bit. Kelee Ringo.
Yeah.
Missouri picked on Kelee Ringo. They went his way late in the game, and they got the PI calls.
Yeah, they got a PI call. Mookie Cooper cooked him once for 46 yards. And shout out Mookie, former Buckeye, St. Louis finest. I recruited him, a little bit. I take that back. I got to know him when he was a sophomore, and then Brian Hartline recruited him. But he's doing his thing at Missouri. He cooked the shit out of Kelee Ringo. I'm telling you, I don't think Kelee Ringo is it, and I don't think Tyke Smith is it. I think that they are. I'm not going to say fraudulent in the secondary, but all this hype around Kelee Ringo is just unwarranted.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's interesting. Something that a good amount about. They have a guy who I thought could have been an elite number one receiver. He broke his leg last year, and he's kind of struggling this year. It's the Marcus Rosemead, Jack Saint kid, who I think has elite ball skills, 6'2", can run, can really fly, like super talented kid. But he hasn't been able to get back to that form yet, and you've talked about it before, that broken leg is a 2-year injury.
It is. Really, we saw with Noah Brown came back and he was good. Don't get me wrong, he was good, but Buckeye fans don't know this because he broke his leg before the 2015 season, so you didn't get to see it. I watched all of training camp. Noah Brown was a wide receiver one almost anywhere until he broke his leg, and when he came back in 2016, he was still really good, but he wasn't as dominant as he was, and that kind of speaks to he's in year six with the Cowboys, and now he's like, he's not the feature guy. CeeDee Lamb is, but he's the wide receiver two in the NFL. And it just speaks to how high his ceiling was and how that leg injury was a 2-year injury. And I'll never forget it. Derek Dooley was the receiver coach of Dallas. And he said that to me. We sat down one-on-one, talked about Noah, watched some film. And he was like, man, we're just really excited about him because I know I've been around football and I've seen it happen. When guys break their leg like that, it's a 2-year injury. It's the first time I ever heard that. He was like, Noah's going to be that much better his rookie year because he's going to be finally 100% healed and have confidence to be able to run routes the way he used to. And when he said it, it always stuck with me. And watching what Noah's doing now, it's a testament to it. It is. Those broken legs, bad breaks, right? Not some hairline fracture, but a bad break where it's flopping. That is a 2-year injury.
For the psyche of the kid, for the health of the kid moving forward. So I know that a lot of people expected the Marcus, Jackson kid to be really good. He's one of those elite kids from I don't know how to say it, Pompano Beach, Florida. I think it's South Florida, right?
I've never even heard of it. Pano Beach?
Pompano. I think he played for South Florida Express. But I'll kind of move forward on that. So anyway, Georgia isn't it, and I think they're going to get got at some point. Now, coming up, I think Florida could be a dangerous team when they play, and then Tennessee as well could be a dangerous team when they play because they are not the generational Georgia team of last year. This was a game for them to kind of shut everybody up. Like, look, the Kent State thing was we were bored. We didn't want to get it right. But now we're back-to-back weeks, and it's now something of note. All right, Zach, moving forward a little bit, I want to talk about the Big Ten, and I want to start with Ohio State. Sloppy game against Rutgers, still won by 39. It was drama free for the most part, with exception to Ryan Day and Greg Schiano getting into it. Everyone in the world wants to know about the fake punt. It's this, it's that, it's classless by Ohio State. Zach, initial thoughts are kind of, now that you've had time to sit on it and watch some things back, what are your thoughts on Ohio State?
Well, my thoughts from the reaction show on Saturday still remain on the fake punt. I mean, and I've watched it again this morning, and Schiano went after the punt, just totally voided containing a rollout punter to his foot side. Like, it's okay. Not really. It's not really okay. But if you could sell me we're not going to contain the defensive right side because it's a right-footed kicker. He's not going to roll that way. Like, we'll try to block this punt and we'll sell, full sell contain on that side. But for a half-roll punter where he rolls out, and I know it was a mistake by the kids because Shiano would never do this. He rolls out to his right every fucking punt. Mm-hmm. To not have a contain guy there is the dumbest shit I've seen in college football this year. Maybe. I mean, I've seen some dumb shit this year. It's just dumb. And what do you expect that kid to do? That is built into the system and punt is you roll out and you don't punt it until they force the punt. That gives your coverage team more time to get down the field. Mm-hmm. Well, they never forced the punt. So he just ran it. And then it was classless from our boy Crookshank to hit him out of bounds. And then Shiano running over there. He honestly should. He's going to get fined because can you imagine your coach takes off in a brawl like that to go over to get in the brawl? What do you think the kids behind him are going to do? Thank God the assistants held him back, because that could have turned into like an Ohio State, Michigan or a Miami FIU where it's an all out brawl, because his job in that moment was to let the referees handle it, turn around and keep his team on the fucking sideline. That was his job. And he didn't do his job. He went over and started popping off at the mouth and Ryan Day bit right back. He was expecting a Chihuahua and that bitch came out like a Rottweiler.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Do you think Ohio State was kind of poking a little bit too after the game, giving Jesse Mirko the you know, special teams player of the game?
No, I mean, I think Mirko did well.
It felt like it could have been Jaden Ballard, like, because he obviously, you know,
because he recovered an onside kick. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought Mirko's been really good, quietly good. I mean, he had two punts for 81 yards, so you know, both of them inside the 20, and he got a fake punt. I mean, I think you definitely give him that nod, but it might have been poking at Shiano. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past Ryan.
It just felt like no, this wasn't a mistake. Like, he absolutely did the right thing. We stand by our guy. Taking off.
I do want to note though, Chris, and I've said it before, I don't use PFF's grades, Pro Football Focus grades, because I honestly never really agree with them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's grading it. I feel like it's some college kids that are making $10 an hour to go through film and grade, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But I did think this was interesting. The top three graded players on Ohio State's defense were three players with massive question marks coming into this season. Steel Chambers was number one, Zach Harrison number two, and Tommy Eichenberg number three. And I agree with that. I thought those three kids, Zach Harrison had his best game as a Buckeye, not even close. Mm-hmm. Steel Chambers was by far the player of the game. He flashed, and with what Tommy's been able to do through whatever it is, four games now, I think Ohio State has two real-ass fucking linebackers. And then you're watching the safety development, right? You're watching the biggest question mark is corner right now. And I'm really hopeful that one of these freshmen takes that spot from Denzel Burke. Jair Brown is cornerback two, in my opinion, based on film. So just exciting to watch that defense. I mean, they held Rutgers to 1 of 11 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. So 1 of 13 on drive extending plays, those money downs. It was exceptional. And Ohio State's offense played like shit. Mayan Williams in the run game was stupid. So fucking good. Five touchdowns, tied an Ohio State record. It was outstanding. The receivers played like shit. CJ Stroud played like shit. I'm allowed to say that. I had one guy in my Instagram DMs going off on me about how I'm a jealous, petulant bitch. I wish I could be a good coach like Hartline. My grandpa's the reason I got the job, yada, yada, yada. I have fucking complimented these receivers and Brian Hartline 1,000 times since I started this podcast. But I'm also too real to not call out what I see. The receivers didn't play well. They didn't get open. And I got the coach's film coming today. It's going to be on Patreon. If you want to see why and you want my actual opinion, come watch the film with me. Go to patreon.com/menacesports, sign up right now, and come watch the film with me.
Beautiful.
And stay out of my fucking DMs.
Beautiful. Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers are both on pace for over 60 tackles. They're both on pace for double-digit tackles for loss, and they're both on pace for 6 sacks a game. I mean, 6 sacks at the end of the season.
Ridiculous. 11 fucking tackles, 8 solo tackles. Mm-hmm. There's a couple plays that are about to pop, and he's just got a different burst. He reminds me a lot of a Ryan Shazier-esque linebacker. Probably not quite as fast. Ryan was, I mean, 4.4 fast, like freaky fast. But he closes gaps like Ryan used to. And honestly, there was the one play that was about to pop, and he tracked it down for like a 1-yard gain where I just went, whoa, like that is ridiculous. That's a great play.
I just keep thinking about like linebackers we've had in the past, what they would look like under Jim Knowles, just because like Steele and Tommy have been phenomenal. Like, could you imagine like Malik Harrison under Jim Knowles? Like, how freaky that would have been. Like, guys like Craig Young. Pete Warner? Yeah, Pete Warner
and Baron Browning.
Oh my goodness gracious. It's insane. Just think
about that year. If Pete Warner and Baron Browning were your two linebackers in this defensive scheme, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It would have been. I mean, they would have had a trophy and a ring.
Yeah, no, I agree. Tommy's been sensational. 32 tackles on the year. 5.5 tackles for loss, and then 2 sacks. Zach, this is the guy that went an entire game last year without recording a tackle. Like, he was a guy that was out there just doing
started
cardio
and played.
Right, it started. He played all 45 snaps, Zach, and recorded no tackles. He was just out there doing cardio. Now this kid is on road.
He's doing cardio.
He's on the way to being an All Big Ten player, potentially an All American. Same with Steel Chambers. They both turned themselves in from what we had as major question marks into guys that are now draftable. Zach, yeah. That's incredible. And we talked about it. A lot of the cats that we didn't think were good going into the year were going to be good based on coaching, because coaching is so important. Do you want to talk about Zach Harrison real quick? He was super disruptive. After Tyleek Williams went down with the ankle injury, from what it appeared, they had him inside a lot, Zach. Playing defensive tackle was really interesting. I mean, it's freaky for him to go up against guards. I mean,
he's got the size for it. He's I've always said I love that in pass rush situations. Tyleek goes down. You want 4 elite pass rushers, but they, like you said, they had him in there on non-passing downs, and he was dominant. I mean, you talk about disruptive. He was disruptive, and just the defense as a whole outside of Denzel Burke played great. I mean, Denzel Burke was the lowest graded player per PFF. Again, take their ratings or their grades, with a grain of salt. He was a lowest graded player on defense at 50%, and there was 29 players. So he was the 29th highest grade on defense, dead last. Mm. He got targeted twice, 2 catches, 40 yards. Like, he isn't playing well.
It's got to be time to sit the kid. I don't like calling for kids jobs, but it's got to be time.
Well, he needs it for his own future. He needs to sit down and stop getting cooked so he can build some confidence back in practice and then get in some mop-up duty and hopefully build some confidence and get his game back, because I don't know what the fuck happened, but he's getting cooked out there.
Mm-hmm. Like, he is the mark now, and that's not something you want. And I think now we're at the point where 5 games into the season, it's on tape now. Like, teams have seen it, and they're using it more and more. Do you think Jair Brown's ready to start right now? Would you throw him out there?
Well, I don't think he's ready, but he's the best option right now, right? I mean, I don't think that he's a true freshman. He's going to look a lot like Denzel Burke last year, but here's the problem. Denzel Burke last year was better than Denzel Burke this year. So at this point, it is what it is. You just got to roll with the best player. Even if he is a freshman, he's going to have freshman moments. You got to go with him. You just do.
Mm-hmm. No, heard. And I didn't think that Jair Brown would be the freshman that kind of would have the biggest impact this year on defense, but it's looking like it. I mean, everywhere else we're pretty senior laden. We have like juniors and seniors everywhere. You're going to have to start that kid at some point, just because Denzel is the mark. Like, the 10 points that Rutgers scored was because primarily of 2 big plays led up by Denzel. So I'm curious. I do want him to get it right. What'd you make of the number change? Do you like number changes mid-year, or do you care?
I mean, whatever you need to do to
get his mojo back,
get your mojo back. And I'm sure it was, you're doing anything for motivation. Like, what do you want? You want to wear a visor? You want to wear fucking wristbands? Like, whatever you need to do to kind of let that dog come out.
Mm-hmm. This is 4 straight weeks where an Ohio State player won the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week award. just thought I would give that to you just because I love that kind of thing. Rank our receivers, Zach, 1 through 3. Who are our best receivers now that we're halfway through the season, or almost halfway through the season?
Emeka Egbuka's 1, Marv's 2, Julian Fleming 3, and then that's
Stover.
It.
Stover.
Yeah, well, Cade Stover's up there. I mean, it's tough to throw him in there because he's such a different player, versatile player.
And then I'm going to ask, are you surprised by those rankings? Did you think it would be a different way if I told you?
No, that's about what I thought it would be.
Okay.
JSN obviously needs to get healthy. JSN mm-hmm. needs to get healthy so we can, add him into the conversation. He is certainly one, but.
Got you. I always thought Marv would be kind of the 2 to JSN, and I am pleasantly surprised that it's been Emeka. That's been really, really fantastic. Zach, next question. Is Ohio State the best team in the country, or are they close?
It's a toss up between Alabama and them because they have similar problems. I think Ohio State's receivers are outplaying Alabama's receivers right now, but Alabama has a difference maker in Jahmyr Gibbs. Difference maker. I mean, he is just a wow player. And as much as I love Mayan Williams, he is a great back. He runs. He's impressive. This kid, Jahmyr Gibbs, is different. I mean, 23 miles an hour. That clip you posted is still, I mean, it runs through my head constantly. When he looked like Ted Ginn at running back, he put his head down and it was smoke from the backfield. So I think both defenses are solid. I would give Ohio State's defense the edge for sure when it comes to better defenses, but Jahmyr Gibbs is the difference maker. And I need to see Ohio State's receiver group prove that they're better than Bama's, right? Prove that they can go into a high matchup with first, you know, NFL corners everywhere, and they can get open against man. Because Nick Saban is going to – Georgia, Alabama, they're going to play man coverage and with some fucking NFL players. And if Ohio State can't get open, it's going to be a long day. So I just need to see it. I need proof on film that – it's not, I'm not talking about zone coverage, big play, good run after catch. I'm talking about cook a kid in man coverage. That's what I need to see.
This is back-to-back years where Bama has a kid on the team that's an absolute game wrecker, like an absolute burner. They do a great job getting him in space. Like Jameson Williams was that game wrecker. One touch, 70 yards, any point. Jahmyr Gibbs is that as well. Jahmyr Gibbs is the redo for Bama and Alvin Kamara. Obviously, we know Alvin transferred to Tennessee. This is the redo, and the kid's a freak. Like that, you know, that stretch that he just one cut and just gone. Like as soon as he hits the second level, Zach, you feel like he's gone because he's so fast. He's so explosive. Absolutely. And it's really incredible to see. He is truly a game wrecker. How close do you think the gap is between the two? Like, is there a closer gap between them, or is there a closer gap between like the second best and then Georgia?
I think Georgia's the bigger gap is Georgia at three jumping to two. I think the gap is very small, and I honestly don't know that there is a gap. I think they're two pretty equally matched teams in Alabama and Ohio State. I gave you my reasoning behind
why
kind of giving Alabama the nod. And again, there's plenty of time to display that that certain weaknesses maybe aren't that weak, but I really think that it's Bama 1, Ohio State 2, and the gap is very small, like very, very small.
And you've held to this kind of going back to the preseason. And even after week one, you said that you still feel like, you know, Bama's the more complete team and Bama's the team to beat. And people, Georgia fans came after you like crazy. Here we are a couple weeks later, and that's proven to be the case. It's Bama 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3. And then honestly, it's interesting because Clemson and DJ has become super dangerous. This feels like a great time for this super chat, Zach, as we kind of move on and talk a little bit about Michigan. As bad as UM's schedule was for the first 3 weeks, Ohio State has played overall worse for the first 5 weeks. Thank you, Brian, for the five. I want to ask about it because Iowa played Michigan in what was a weird game. Can't believe Ferentz still has a job, but he has one. And this Michigan offense, to me, looked pretty pedestrian, but I wanted your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it didn't look great. And, you know, J.J. McCarthy was just okay. I mean, he attempted – let me look it up. So he was 1 for 3 on deep balls, right? And he only attempted 6 throws over 10 yards. So it's not an opened-up offense right now. It's not. I like Blake Corum. I like Donovan Edwards. I think they run the ball decent. They ran the ball less effective in this game as they have in the past. But Iowa has a good run defense. I mean, they always have, always will have a good run defense. So I mean, Iowa scores 14 points in the fourth quarter to make it look closer than it was. I thought Michigan handled their business. Honestly, Iowa scoring like in the fourth quarter was the most shocking thing because I didn't think Iowa would be able to move the ball at all on them in this game. But I still have Michigan right where I've always had them, 12-0 going in, or 11-0 going into the Ohio State game. I don't think there's a team on the schedule that can beat them, especially watching Penn State struggle with Northwestern. It's just like, they're not it. I really think Michigan's gonna wire to wire 11-0 to challenge an Ohio State team in an undefeated matchup. The game of the century. It'll be the next game of the century.
I want to ask you about Michigan because I feel like you know, quarterback wise, like once you get a player, you want the system to kind of maximize their skill set. Yeah. It feels like once you name JJ the starter, you would want him to be dynamic. And it feels like they made name him the starter and then didn't adjust the offense at all and won't let him go be dynamic, or is he just pedestrian?
Well, no, he's not. He's a good athlete, and they're not letting Jim Harbaugh. This is my problem with Jim Harbaugh. One, he should have made this call last year. They would have had a better shot in the playoffs, but he's still running his Stanford offense with a dual threat. I mean, this kid's a good athlete. He had 5 rushes for negative 14 yards. I mean, he just got sacked. He didn't run the ball, right? I need to see him play like Bryce Young, and he's not Bryce Young yet. Maybe he could become that, but I need to see him use those legs, use the athleticism, take off and scramble, be lethal. And I haven't seen him be lethal. To be a pure drop-back passer, I mean, averaging 6.5 yards per attempt, threw for 155 fucking yards. They only ran it for 172. And Blake Corum, you know, averaged 4.6 yards per carry. So this offense just didn't look explosive and lethal. And that's my issue with it, with the offense, with Jim Harbaugh's offense, with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, it's just I need to see lethality, if that's a word. And I haven't seen it yet.
It doesn't make sense to name JJ the starter if you're just going to ask him to be Cade McNamara.
Right.
Like, let JJ be JJ.
And I still don't understand. I get that Roman Wilson. I get Ronnie Bell. I get all these players that Jim Harbaugh thinks he has. I still haven't seen a receiver in maize and blue last year or this year that's as good as Andrell Anthony. I mean, he had one target, one catch, 29 yards, big play. He's the only fucking kid that's and I don't understand why they don't like him. Like, and I know I'm not there for practice. Maybe he's lazy. Maybe he doesn't block. I don't know what it is, but he scorched Michigan State last year. Didn't play the rest of the year. Basically, he goes out in this game against Iowa. He has the longest catch of the game by far at 30 yards. The next closest was like 18 or 14. It's like, he is a playmaker. Why the fuck aren't they using him and developing him and coaching him and getting him to blossom into a big time player? It's a head scratcher.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's confusing. It's like they want him to out Cade McNamara.
Right.
It's like, let JJ.
Right. It would be like in 2014 when JT broke his leg, making Cardale Jones run fucking split zone every play. It would be awful. I mean, we would not won a game. We would have lost every game we played after that if we tried to force Cardale to be JT. It's just stupid.
No, I agree, and it's foolish because we thought there was finally going to be some change when he finally had the balls to start JJ, but here we are. This is a great time to throw this up here, Zach. Doug, thank you for the 10. You see coaches getting hired and fired within 3 to 4 years. How does Kirk Ferentz still have a job? Also, do you see the Buckeyes getting healthier after the bye week? Zach, on the other side of this, Iowa look terrible. Again, they have no offense. They have the worst offensive coordinator in all of football right now, any level. I don't care. At what point does Kirk Ferentz get fired, or do they not value? They don't care.
Well, Kirk Ferentz has built that program. I mean, he didn't build it. Hayden Fry built it, but he has, you know, made Iowa a solid ass football team almost year in, year out. Mm-hmm. So he's got a ton of respect in within the athletic department.
Okay,
but he's gonna have to fire his kid. If he fires his kid, he'll buy a year. If he doesn't fire his kid, he's fucking out.
Yeah,
and I think Iowa and Wisconsin have always kind of been two peas in a pod, where Iowa's like the little brother to Wisconsin, where Wisconsin does things a certain way. Iowa kind of does them that way too. It's, you know, similar region, similar recruiting base. And I think that Wisconsin firing Paul Christ just turned the heat level up on old Kirk Ferentz a little bit. Absolutely. So we'll see how they do it. I'm sure they're having conversations right now, and he knows he's going to have to fire his kid. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I couldn't do it. I'm telling you right now, if my son was the offensive coordinator, I was the head coach, I would not fire my kid. I'd let him fire me, because I'm not having that hang over my head the rest of my life that I fired my kid. Even if it's what's best for him, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, it's an impossible situation. I don't think I would hire my kid that big of a role kind of publicly.
I want to say this just for the racists out there, because this is what people in the Miami Hurricane spaces were asking me, trying to paint me in a racist light.
Oh, right.
Iowa's OC is 100 times worse than Josh Gattis. Brian Ferentz, 100 times worse than Josh Gattis. There you go. White guy, worse than the black guy. Just throwing it out there.
Sorry, all I heard was I'm racist 6 times over and over and over.
I am. Fuck it. I'm racist as shit.
Chill. It's funny because, like, you get called racist, I get called racist. So it's just like, we're just like, you know.
It's just, it's 2022. People love calling people racist. Yeah. It's like their favorite thing in the world.
I got called racist repeatedly for the Darnell Washington thing, but you know, we're chilling.
People just love to be oppressed. It's like, yeah. Oh, he must, everyone's a racist. That guy's a racist. That it's like, yeah. Okay, fucking relax.
I love white guys. Anyway, Andrew Johnson, thanks for the 5. Who would win between Ohio State versus these teams right now? Michigan, Bama, Georgia, and Clemson. Ooh, you want to go first? Or want me to go first?
You can go ahead. I think everyone knows my answer.
I think we beat Michigan pretty handily. I do think we beat Clemson in a closer game, maybe like a one-score game. I think Bama is, you know, can Ruggles hit a field goal 48 yards to win the game? I think Georgia we beat by 10. That's where I'm at with those.
Yeah, players. I mean, I think that Jim Knowles will absolutely just destroy Georgia's offense. It'll be just embarrassing for Kirby Smart and Todd Monken, and they probably fire him after the game. Mm-hmm. That's how, and I think Georgia's defense would provide a ton of fucking problems for Ohio State. So yeah. I definitely think Ohio State would win that game because Jim Knowles would snuff out Stetson Bennett and the whole, you know, fucking facade that is Georgia offense. Michigan, I think Ohio State would definitely win just because I don't trust the Jim Harbaugh offense with JJ McCarthy. I mean, what I'm watching, I'm just, I leave so much to wonder, like, let's get some fucking speed and space. And then I think Bama would right now beat Ohio State, but it'd be a close game. It's not going to be like the national championship game with Devontae Smith. I think that Bama would win the game. Questions at corner, Bryce Young healthy, Jahmyr Gibbs is a freak. I mean, and their defense is solid. I think Bama would edge out Ohio State in a really close game today.
Throw this up here because this message means a lot to me. I'll explain a little bit. D Money, thank you for the five. Your show has replaced Colin Coward during my noon slot. Thanks for your show and actually giving some value to sports fans.
I appreciate that, man. That's big.
That means a lot to me because, like, the reason I got into sports talk is because of Colin Coward, because I think he does a really good job in terms of kind of putting together a show. And that's like one of the guys who I thought had one of the best pens out. So that means a lot. We do appreciate you. Zach, I want to move forward, keep talking about the Big Ten just a little bit. Purdue. They caught Minnesota slipping. They got in that ass. And Aiden O'Connell and that team always is dangerous. They did it. And right as soon as we started to kind of say, okay, we see you, Minnesota, the fraudulent flex never ceased to let us down.
I almost didn't talk about it because I think Tanner Morgan is entirely overrated. I think PJ Fleck is the biggest phony coach that I've seen since Les Miles exited the game. It's just everything is a sales pitch. It's like, I wonder if he even like, I think he's the type of guy that like looks in the mirror at himself and jerks off. Like that's the type of guy he is. And I just, I don't think he's a good football coach. I think it's all a smoke and mirrors, all fake and phony. So I hesitated to talk about him, but you gotta recognize when a team's winning. And they went out there and they were fraudulent. I mean, they had double digit missed tackles, and Purdue had like six. Aiden O'Connell outdueled Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan didn't complete a ball to the left side of the field. This team was fraudulent, is what it was.
Yeah, they're fraudulent, and at one point, you know, people were kind of wondering like, can they stand to Penn State? And I don't know. I almost started to buy into it because when a team's 4-0, they're 4-0. But, you know, we'll see when we get there. And I do want to talk about Penn State real briefly, Zach, because I wanted to ask you how much, like, as an evaluator, can you hold this struggling against them, considering the weather conditions, considering how the game was won? They went in. It was storming. It was wet. There were some ball security issues, but they ended up winning the game.
Anybody that's ever played at Northwestern in Chicago, when it's wet with weather, I mean, they call it the Windy City for a fucking reason, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard as shit to throw the ball when it's extremely windy and wet.
Yeah, so I'm not holding it against. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not holding it against Penn State at all. I mean, that is certainly something to note. The problem is at the end of the year, nobody is going to remember that. They're going to be like, "Damn, they struggled with Northwestern." That's on their resume now forever. And you would think that even not being able to throw it well, right? Never mind the fact that it's Sean Clifford. He can't throw it well, like with no breeze and 90 degree sunshine. But I just, you'd think they'd be able to be dominant in the run game with Nicholas Singletary and Singleton and just bulldoze Northwestern. I mean, it's the talent gap on the up front is massive. And they just didn't do that. I mean, it was unfortunate, to say the least.
Yeah, it was. And the kid also had three fumbles. Freshman in the rain. I mean, that's the hurricane rain.
That's really going to happen, right?
Right. I'm not going to pull a ton away from that game. I will just, you know, congratulate Penn State for continuing to win because they do look semi-legit. It is weird seeing Sean Clifford out there for the 37th year in a row.
It's really weird.
Yeah, he was my grandfather's favorite player too. So, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. Michigan State, they lost. I thought they would be a better team this year. It is interesting because Ohio State has not left Columbus, Zach. And next week they leave Columbus to go to Michigan State in what I thought could be a dangerous game. I now don't know if it is, considering the trajectory of Michigan State. What have you pulled away from them? Or is Maryland always, you know, you always felt like Maryland was going to win this game?
No, I think Maryland is proving to be that third contender in the Big Ten East. I mean, them and Penn State will obviously have to decide that on the football field. But Maryland is the one game right now that I'm circling if I'm Ohio State. Or not circling, but I'm keeping my eye on because everyone circled that last game, the rivalry game. It's that way every year. It's even more so now after what happened last year. But Maryland's the one to me that's like, man, watch out for this game. I don't think Michigan State will be a problem at all. I think Michigan State is a bad football team. And Mel Tucker's just, you know, he's still continuing to try to build a program because he's reliant on transfer portal kids. And that's a quick fix, right? That's a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm. It's a Band-Aid.
You have to build the program, and I think he's doing that, but it's going to take time. And that, whereas last year the quick fix worked, this year the quick fix didn't work. They don't have Kenneth Walker III. They didn't really. They brought in all these rejects from Bama and these other SEC schools to play DB. They're not what he had hoped they would be. And so I think it's a good game for Maryland, and it shows you that Maryland's got a chance to, I don't think they got a chance to win anything like the Big Ten or anything like that. They have a chance to upset somebody, be it Penn State, be it Ohio State. They already, you know, had took their shot against Michigan and fell short. But I think Maryland's a team that could make some noise.
Is it weird that Ohio State hasn't left the crib in like 5 weeks?
Yeah, it doesn't usually happen that way, but it just means they're backloaded with away games down the stretch of the season, which is honestly not ideal. You'd like to kind of mix them in because you love to come home for a week, go out for a week, come back. You know, you'd like to mix that up because, I mean, you look at this Maryland team, they're going to have to go on the road and play in whatever it is, 2 or 3 weeks. It might even be longer than that. It might be a month. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But either way, I mean, just Tua Tagovailoa is playing well. And I know Michigan State's not great in the secondary, but completing 80% of his passes in that game for over 300 yards, he's a good quarterback. And he's going to, with the issues we've seen at Ohio State at corner, if Cam Brown's not healthy, watch out. That's a dangerous-ass game now. Dangerous-ass game.
Super. Super dangerous. I saw that Ohio State is 27 or some odd point favorites against Michigan State, considering their pass defense has been a struggle. You know, they try to put duct tape over broken pipes in back-to-back years. It doesn't always work. Not everybody is the Kenneth Walker-level duct tape. No. And again, there's only one Kenneth Walker. Zach wanted to throw this up here. Enough of my knowledge on the show. Zach, much related to Nostradamus, with how many predictions have come true. Are you a prophet?
No, I just know. I just kind of know this stuff. I don't know. I mean, I coached for 14, whatever it is, 13. I always say 15, but I don't think it was. I think it was more like 13.
Yeah,
I mean, count my freshman year when I walked on at Bowling Green as a coaching year, I guess.
It is kind of funny, Zach, because like people do love to dunk on us for like the bad takes, but what I don't think people realize is that we give takes for an hour a day, every single day on college football. And so like every time you're wrong, people will like go back and find it. But imagine if every single one of whoever's in the chat, whoever's listening, if every single one of your football conversations was recorded and then posted, how often you would be wrong. Like, this shit is not easy.
Well, we see it all the time. I mean, you watch college football sports media. They're wrong fucking constantly.
Yeah, wait, just throw that Desmond Howard graphic just up one more time for the people. Just throw it up there.
How often are sports media – dumbass sports media personalities wrong? Well, Dez is wrong 6 times over so far on this fucking graphic. I mean, there's 6 losses amongst his playoff teams through week 5. Yikes.
And guess what Desmond Howard doesn't have to do, Zach? He doesn't go on and give his football takes for an hour every single day. He gives them for 5 minutes during half of the year.
Right. On a Saturday only.
Yeah, on a Saturday only. So just putting some of that into perspective. Zach, this one's for you. I don't read these, man. It gives
King
me
Broncos answers. Back. Testy Tone got shookers of sheds and reptile prance. King Broncos kind of wearing thin with me. Until he slides the DMs and comes on the show. I don't know if King Bronco might be banned from the show.
We're retiring him, King Bronco. Chris, it's Pompano.
Pompano? Beach. What the fuck? What did you say it was?
I thought I said Pompano.
No, you didn't say Pompano. Whatever you said, I've never heard of.
I said Papaya.
Papaya Beach? That's when you said it. I was like, I've never fucking heard of that place. I know exactly. Yeah, I've been to Pompano 100 times.
Okay. You know, I'm over here struggling. Smokey! UGA going to fuck around and find out. Oh, yeah. Go Bulls.
Talk that shit, Smoke.
Smokey! Hell yeah. I need Tennessee to win that so bad, Zach. Like, remember this offseason, somebody was clowning me for saying that I thought Tennessee would have a chance, then I almost got bullied into walking it back. But, you know.
Ooh. Chris, I've been on Tennessee since the end of last season, since during last season.
Yeah, you have, and then you got nervous because the chatter for them was getting loud, and then the chatter went quiet all of a sudden. Like, super quiet. And it's crazy because we had Tennessee fans on our necks. Like, they were cooking us, man, killing us, and now we're back. And I love Tennessee. Yeah, I got a Vol shirt in the back. What? Chill out, bro. I got a Tennessee shirt in the back. I'm about to be smoking a cigar in the workplace. I had them take out the smoke detector.
There you go.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, Chris, before we get to that super chat, 2 other things. One, tomorrow's game, we're going to break down Will Levis, Kentucky, Ole Miss. I need to start spreading it out. We've been packing it all into Monday, and I can't give as deep analysis into some of these games.
Oh, perfect.
So we're going to talk about Will Levis and the fraud that Kentucky was tomorrow. But I did want to shout out, we're going to look at 2 teams and just kind of give a rundown on are they, you know, real or fake. And that is Kansas gets a big win over Matt Campbell's Iowa State Cyclones, 14-11, bizarre score. And then Syracuse, undefeated, beat, and I know it's Wagner, but 59-0, that's a fucking That's an ass whooping. So I want to talk about them a little bit tomorrow. I wanted to throw that out there. And also wanted to mention, shout out Jeff Hafley, big dub over Louisville, 34-33. That's a massive win, kind of to, you know, not fall into oblivion. At BC, that's what can happen, right? You could be solid and win 8 games and people love you. Or, you know, shit starts rolling the wrong way. All of a sudden, you're fucking 2-9 and on the verge of getting fired. So shout out to the Hafley Eagles.
Question about the Ohio State defense. Thank you, Andrew, for the 5. How did Malik Hooker and Jerome Baker look in this defense?
Oh, my God. Just ridiculous. Yeesh. Ridiculous.
Ooh, I love this. Paul Moss. Thank you for the 10. Chris and or Zach, you can tell a lot about a team during a fight with another team. Break down the fight after the hit. Mike Hall is a stone cold killer. Mitch Rossi, Jerron Cage, all wanted that smoke. It's important because we now have a data point of reference. Because remember last year, there was the fight that should have broken out against Michigan.
And the only person.
Yes, yep. The only one. It was Cam Brown versus 5 linemen. No one else was to be found. It's There's a testament no to the offseason program.
It's not who starts the fight. I think the person that starts the fight is usually a petulant little bitch, a la Dontre Wilson in the Ohio State Michigan game. Like he started a fight because he got tackled hard, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But then who was right there in the thick of it? Marcus Hall, grown ass man. Michael Thomas, grown man.
No, but chill. We love Mike.
He was red shirting, like he had no business going out there, but he was here for all the smoke. And then none other, right in the middle of it. I mean, got a 2-piece in on a player. Braxton Miller, starting quarterback, Heisman candidate, is out there popping people. So they were about it. And you're right. I'm going to go back and watch it. I don't know why I didn't think to do that.
Yeah, we'll do a little voiceover.
You find out who's really with it in a fight or who's there like, back up, and holding people back.
It is funny. Travion Henderson, too hurt to play, but definitely healthy enough to fight. He got up there and was trying to squabble too. So don't know what his injury was. Don't know what any of the injuries are. Bishop, Outdoor World, thank you for the 2. Any word on 7 Banks? No word on 7 Banks.
That was scary. They said he had movement in all his extremities, which is great news. They said that on game day. I heard it on TV. But no, that was scary scenes. And prayers to 7, obviously. We love 7. Even, you know, transfer or not, he was a Buckeye, right?
Absolutely. 5-0 and 2-0 in conference. Go Bucks, Menace Army. Hey, thank you, my guy, Brian. But save that 5. Go shop with Manscaped. For real.
I got to mention, Chris, we raised $300. Okay. So I'm going to cut a check in Super Chats. $300 getting sent to Hurricane Ivan.
Oh.
So appreciate Menace Army for that.
Hurricane Ivan relief.
I mean, Ian. Hurricane Ian. What the fuck? Ian, yeah, relief. Not to the hurricane. I'm not paying the hurricane. Donate to the relief.
Brian, thank you for the 5. UM formula worked last year with the worst QB. Why not use it with JJ? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. See, that's a tricky mentality because college football is moving a certain
direction. Did it work last year, though? Because they beat Ohio State, you'll never win on the national landscape doing what they did last year. And they saw that they got exposed. I mean, brutalized on national TV. They were the 4th best team in the playoffs, and the playoffs included a team named Cincinnati. So, like, yeah, it may work in the Big Ten. You might catch a team that is in a down year or a little soft, like they did Ohio State. But no, it won't work. They'll never beat Alabama doing what they're doing right now. Ever, never will happen.
And I don't think it's a good reference. I mean, obviously, like when you talk about last year, you talk about like Ohio State getting beat by that team. Ohio State also got beat by Oregon in the Mario offense. And like we've seen what Mario and Gattis have teamed up to do down in Miami. So it's like Michigan beat us badly because of the incompetence in the defensive scheme and then the winning in the trenches.
Yeah.
Like when you're out man in the trenches, you have to be able to get guys in speed and space, or if it's mano a mano.
And you just have to take both of those things and say, would the same thing happen this year? Fuck, not Jim Knowles' defense. And what I've watched up front, they're not going to bully anybody. It's going to be a battle. So the answer is no. They won't beat Ohio State with this same vanilla game plan where we're going to out-tough you and fucking Woody Hayes is the other coach. And shit's dead. It'll work when a team is soft up front and the defense is as fucked up as Ohio State's defense was. But it's not going to work against Ohio State with a competent defense or an elite defense and tough guys up front. It's not going to happen.
You can't bring the same exact chili to the chili cookout every single year and expect to win. Like, everyone else's chili is going to get better.
Right.
You can't keep bringing it. And additionally, we've talked about college football. We've listed the coaches that the game has passed them by. If your offense is not forever evolving or, like, getting a little bit of seasoning here and there, you will get left behind. We saw it with Jim Tressel. We saw it with Urban Meyer. We're seeing it right now live in 5K with Jimbo Fisher. Like, if you do not evolve, the game will pass you by. And not letting a dynamic quarterback go be dynamic is a grave, grave mistake because A, you will no longer be able to land elite level quarterbacks, and B, you will get beat badly like you did against Georgia. Beating Ohio State, sure, that should be a goal for your season, not the goal for your season. I think that is the important thing to remember.
Absolutely.
If we said this, I'm so sorry, but guys, I thought Minnesota would beat Tennessee. I don't know.
No. He's talking about the guy in the group chat that was motherfucking everybody. Minnesota would kill Tennessee and then started threatening to fight me, even though I wasn't even in a part of the conversation.
What's it fuck me for? Mike Green, thank you for the one. We got a Buckeye Scoop question. Did you teach Patch Surtain to do the slime finger across the nose after every single incompletion like he did yesterday against Davante Adams? That's like a new fun trend, I guess.
I don't get it.
I know what it is. I mean, it's, I don't know.
No, but it's not every time, though. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Give me some variety.
It's like when you see guys throw up the incomplete because a ball was overthrown 5 yards and they got burned. But I do love Pat. Pat's the best out. Ooh-wee! 10 beats UGA. Shout out Sarah Blake. Hooker is guy. Hooker is him.
Hooker is the guy. We'll see. That's when we're going to find out if he is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, Zach, couldn't you say that it was on the QB, not the O?
Say what?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Brian, clarify it.
But start the hashtag Himothy Hooker right now because that's what's coming up. Zach, I got nothing left for today, man. You killed it.
Here's the only thing that I forgot to mention earlier is C.J. Stroud. I already said he didn't play well, but his inability to run, or not inability, his lack of willingness to run. And I know he had a scramble, but I'm talking about really run. Like, I'm watching these game tapes of these other schools that do. It killed him. I mean, he was 0 for 5 under pressure, 0% completion percentage. Obviously, I forced that throw into triple coverage because they were playing two-man, which no one will play if he runs. Like, you're starting to see what will happen if he doesn't run. Teams are flat out not going to let him throw the ball. They'll double cover people. They'll play trail man. They'll bracket people. And it's rearing its head. It reared its head on Saturday. And thank God the run game was so dominant. I will end it with that. And also, go to Manscaped, promo code Menace, 20% off and free shipping. Get your shit right.
I thought this would be before we get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
This is to Jimbo. Speak after the game. He sounds like K. Newt, rocking
Newt,
the game.
Newt Rockne, Chris? Do you know who Newt Rockne is?
No.
Oh, God. I apologize, Menace Army. I'm going to make Chris take a football history class.
Okay. Who wins in a fight, Ryan Day or Greg Schiano? I think Greg Schiano.
Yeah, probably taking Schiano.
I like Ryan a lot, though. Damn, guys, save the super chats for when we're always doing when we're about to leave the show. Cool nugget. We got beat by a fig pitch against them, and they implemented it in our own offense. Next week, cool to see. Yeah, no, it is cool to see. Ryan's learning. All right, guys, stop with that. I love you guys. Jeez. Go Bucks.
Anyways, Chris, appreciate everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about these games from this past weekend and then continue on into the landscape and future moving forward later in the week like we do every week. Appreciate everybody. Like the video. Comment on the video. Is it shocking Chris doesn't know Newt Rockne? Comment in the video right now. I appreciate everybody. Menace out.
Who is that?